might get started, I think. Hello, it's so wonderful to see you. And welcome also to those of you listening in at home to our recording. I'm so glad you've joined us. My name is Diane and I'm one of the wardens here at St Andrews and I'll be leading us through today's service. My prayer is that you'll hear the voice of God calling you close with his reassurances in our Bible teaching from our Reverend Trevor Young, from the songs we sing and the prayers that are shared during our time here together. And also welcome to the addition to our music team. Where's she gone? Yeah. Oh, there she is.
Adele
is joining us today on keyboard, so thank you. We'll begin this morning by saying together the words of praise from Psalm 147 as a reminder of God's provision to his people in ages past. Okay, where you are would be great. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord.
We're now going to sing some praises, as we've been invited to do, to our God with our first song, Come, Praise and Glorify. Please stand.
Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome to church.
To the praise of your mercy and grace. Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit guarantees our hope until redemption's done, until we join in endless praise to God the Three in One. To the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves. To the praise of your glory, to the praise of your mercy and grace, to the praise of your glory, you are the God who saves.
Please take a seat. We have come together to meet with God and take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I now invite Rosemary to... Yes? Oh, Trevor. Trevor's coming up now to give us the word.
Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 38. Thanks, Diane. Wonderful. You might like just to turn around again and just say good morning to the people nearby you and welcome to church. The Lord be with you and also with you. And for those at home listening in or at Chiswick Manor, the Lord be with you. Please stay for morning tea afterwards if you're able to do so. If you're visiting us either online, listening in for the first time, or visiting us here for the first time, welcome. Welcome to church. We pick up the Bible reading at verse 21, and then we go straight into our Bible teaching time. So I'm glad you've got your Bibles there opened up in front of you and ready to go. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized also. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mathathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Matthias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josek, the son of Jodah, the son of Joanan, the son of Resha, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Elikam, the son of Mele, the son of Menah, the son of Mathathah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nathshon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Zerug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Calnan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, please forgive me for not showing the slides up here. I was concentrating so hard. Ah, dear God, we thank you for your word, every part of it, for every part is meant to be there. So help me now to teach your word correctly this morning. And may we indeed experience your Holy Spirit as he does each week and every day when we open your words to guide us into truth concerning you and how to live life accordingly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please don't close your Bibles there. Leave them open as the verses there we will be looking at. Certainly not going to great length into the genealogy, but making reference to it as well. The title for today's sermon is God's Salvation is His Own Son, No Other. I've gone for a few job interviews in my time. You may have also. And I've also interviewed people for jobs as well. Likewise, you may have also. When interviewing a person for a job, you want to make sure that you find the right person. You don't want to make a mistake. Of all things, you want to know you're confident that you've actually found the person that's right for the job. Someone who can do the job. A man went for a job interview and the manager said to him, "Now we're looking for someone who is responsible." "Well, I'm your man," he replied. "In my last job, whenever anything went wrong, they said I was responsible." But it's easy to make a mistake, isn't it? When it comes to judging if you have the right person. Rosemary and I occasionally go for walks along the bay here, and I'm someone who likes to say hello to people as we pass by. It's in my character, especially if our eyes make contact and they return my smile. But there are, have you ever gone up to someone and greeted them thinking that you know who they are, but you have the wrong person? What do you do after? I've done it, and I've had it done to me. Usually there's this awkward little pause, an awkward embarrassment, and an apology. I thought you were someone that I knew. There's an understanding and a moving on. If the person you greet has a sense of humour, they might laugh and say something like, "Oh, that's okay. I've done that too occasionally." To which you could reply, which I could reply, "I'm getting old enough now that everybody looks like someone that I've met before." But the worst is when you don't realise your mistake. And until it's long into the conversation and the other person is too polite to let you know. You've been in that situation? Oh dear. Been there, done that a couple of times too. This morning, we continue our Bible teaching time through the Gospel of Luke. And you've got it there open in front of you. And the reason Luke gives for writing his gospel, you'll recall, is found in the fourth verse of the very first chapter. Remember? "So that you may be certain of the things you have been taught." The things that we have been taught from God's word, the Bible, regarding Jesus. And today, what we are to be certain of with regards to the things we have been taught regarding Jesus from his word, that he is the Son of God, whom God the Father loves and is well pleased with. That we're not to be mistaking him to be the son of Joseph, but of Mary and God the Father. He is God's salvation, the one through whom, no other, God is pleased to identify with and save sinners. Sinners like you and like me. He is God's salvation that he had planned for all people to see and to know. The one that John the Baptist had prepared the people for and the prophets foretold in the past. He has come. There is no need for another. And we can be confident that we have not made a mistake. He is the right person for the job. Well, what we have before us here in verse 21, if you look down there in front of this, is now Luke's account of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's an important turning point in Luke's gospel, as was last week's one with the introduction of John's ministry. It's a turning point in terms of an ending and a beginning, the ending of John's and the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is no longer a child. We last heard of him back at the end of chapter 2, engaging, you remember, in the conversations with the teachers in the temple, where we are left with, out of doubt, what Luke intended for us to know from that story. That Jesus knew from a very early age who he was and what he had come into the world to do. What his father's business is. You remember him saying to his parent, to Mary and to Joseph, "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus knew from a very early age who he is and what he had come into the world to do his father's business. And now, at the age of 30, that business begins. And it begins with Luke reminding us that the accomplishment of the Father's business, that is to save sinners, to take away the sin of the world, to reconcile us to God, to be seen to become one of us and identify with us. This is what Luke wants us to see at this point, that this one who is the job to come, the one who can do the job, has come, and it's no other than Jesus. So in verse 21, we read, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too." He identifies with the people. The people see the salvation of God. And as he was praying, whether as he was being baptized or after, we're told that heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." It's good to be told that you're doing a job well, and especially if the task before you is hard or that it's been before is hard going. It's good to have that encouragement and confidence to go forward and keep going. Heaven opened up indicates a revelation of God, a significant moment in history, a making known plainly and clearly what God's mind is and will on a matter. It's a reminder, the words that God speaks are a reminder not only to Jesus himself of confidence and courage, knowing what is to come of him and to save sinners, but for those like John the Baptist and for those who are being baptized with Jesus and for us also who are listening in, reading to this story, the voice is to be heard. We are being taught that this one is the one whom God has sent to save sinners, that we might not have doubts, but be confident of our salvation and take courage to believe. The emphasis there is on the words, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased," God the Father says. In this verse 22, the third person of the Godhead is introduced and involved, God the Holy Spirit. He descends on Jesus in bodily form, like a dove. And we should ask the question, why like a dove? And well, the work of God the Holy Spirit in Luke's Gospel is very much involved in the enabling of God's ministry. The enabling of God's ministry actually happening and being accomplished is the Spirit's role and responsibility. Through Jesus and then through those who would continue his ministry, the apostles, we read in Acts, Luke's second account or his second volume, we see the work of the Holy Spirit enabling God's ministry to accomplish. In fact, someone has suggested that Luke's second volume, the continuation of the gospel into the book of Acts, ought to be called not the Acts of the Apostles, but rather the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit to enable God's ministry to accomplish. But why like a dove? It's puzzling. There's not much imagery in the Old Testament with regards to Israel, but there's two significant moments where the graphic or the imagery is described. And the first, we might go maybe being taken back to creation, back to the very first words in the Bible. You remember we read there that the Spirit of God is hovering in a bird-like way, hovering over the waters, and which if you were a Jew, you would understand what that meant there, is that God is hovering over, in control over chaos, about to bring about order, cosmos. Water symbolized to the Jew that it was chaotic and that God, hovering over by his Spirit, was about to bring order in creation by his presence, by his word, and by his work. Bring order out of chaos. Maybe Luke here is using that imagery again that was seen and saw to note again, to remind of an introduction as to what was to come in the gospel as we hear of Jesus' ministry bringing about order out of chaos, exercising his authority over all aspects of life, bringing about order out of chaos. Well, the other time where we know of a dove being mentioned is where? Can someone tell me? Noah and the flood, yeah. And it's a dove that returns back to Noah, letting Noah and his family know that God's judgment on the world at that time was ended. It had been paid and it had been done, and that God was now ushering in a new beginning of peace and hope in a new creation. Maybe that is the link. Certainly that would sort of tie in with what Luke was sort of saying earlier, that the angel's message, remember at the announcing of Jesus' birth, the angel's message was glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth on whom his favour rests. Certainly peace and hope. Cosmos out of chaos, order out of chaos is all there. Either way, or whatever, I take it we are meant to be reassured. We're meant to be reassured that the ministry of Jesus to save sinners will be and has been accomplished for us. For God, the Holy Spirit, will and has enabled it to happen. Then in Luke, and then in verses 23 and following, Luke records a genealogy. Aren't you glad you didn't have to read it? That's right, it's kind of glad that you could say the words anyway, particular. There's no real one way of which to pronounce all those things. No one really can be certain exactly how to pronounce all the names, so I can get away with that. A genealogy is recorded here. Now, the reason he does this is told to us in verse 23 there. Look there at verse 23. He was referring to Jesus, the son, so it was thought of Joseph. Okay? So the genealogy is included to correct and dismiss any thought that his readers may have had, and those who at the beginning of Jesus' ministry thought that Jesus was a child of Joseph. Luke is making it very clear to us that Jesus was not. It ends there, that genealogy, unlike the other genealogies, Luke frames it in this way, with the words, the Son of God. And with it, just beforehand, indicates the Son of Adam. Why? To identify with us. He is one of us from whom God's people come. Again, the emphasis there is on the son of Abram. And Abram was the one through whom God made promises, and one ultimately of being the one who would bring a blessing to all nations. And then the son of David, the one who would qualify to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of sinners. Luke records this genealogy in here for the specific purpose for his readers to be certain of the things that they had been taught, remember. Jesus is not the son of Joseph. He's the son of God and he's the son of Mary, both truly divine and truly human. Again, as we'll hear through the Gospel of Luke, that we can be reassured that the one who's come into the world to save sinners is the one qualified to do the job and the one who can identify with us in every way to be able to do it. More so we see in the passage that follows on from this, for it's interesting now that where does Jesus go? He goes to face temptation in every way as we are, yet what do we note? Without sin. When it comes to finding a person for a job, you want to make sure you find the right person. You don't want to make a mistake. And of all things, you want to know you're confident you've found the person who can do the job. The reason Luke gives for writing his gospel is that we may be certain of the things we have been taught. The things we've been taught from God's word, the Bible, regarding Jesus and our salvation. And today we have been reminded that Jesus is the Son of God. The voice of God confirmed it, whom God the Father loves and is well pleased with. No other. He is not to be mistaken to be the son of Joseph, but the son of God and of Mary. That he is God's promised salvation, the one through whom God is pleased to identify with and save sinners like you and like me in his baptism. He has come. This one has come, brothers and sisters. We can be confident Jesus is the one who has done the job of reconciling sinners with God. He has brought peace and hope eternally. God's salvation is his own Son. There is no other. Praise our Lord. Praise our God. And our next song, very shortly after the statement of belief, which we're about to say together, sums that up as the Apostle Paul does in his statement. Thanks, Diane.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in this amazing God that we know. Christ
is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Our next song is titled Jesus Christ, the King and Saviour.
Now, friends, this is a song you may have heard but not been sung here before, and we thought we'd sing it to you to start with, and you can join along with us as you get the hang of the words. Again, it's a song that picks up on our Bible teaching and also in a way leads into our ongoing teaching time through Luke's Gospel, that Jesus is the one who has authority to do the job that he's come into the world to do. You might like to sit down.
Birth in Herod's reign, Jew and deity. God was with them once for all, shared humanity. John the Baptist knew his sign, prophesied the way. Turn to God, his kingdom's near, repent, believe, obey. Christ the King and Saviour, blessed Lord Emmanuel, living Word, God's Son, Messiah, the victor over Satan's realm. Jesus taught his Father's will, truth with certainty, showing from the Word of God his authority, challenging his enemies who refused to hear. He fulfilled all prophecies, his majesty was clear. Jesus Christ, the King and Savior, blessed Lord Emmanuel, living Word, God's Son, Messiah, victor over Satan's realm. where Jesus reigned in his Father's plan. Israel's suffering servant died, our Passover lamb. Many saw this Son of Man coming in the clouds to the presence of his God in glorious risen power. Jesus Christ, the King and Savior, blessed Lord Emmanuel, living Word, God's Son, Messiah, the victor over Satan's realm. No one knows when he'll return for the judgment day, but he tells us, wait in faith, hope and watch and pray. This command from Jesus' lips, speak to all mankind, make disciples in my name, I'm with you for all time. Jesus Christ, the King and Savior, blessed Lord Emmanuel, living Word, God's Son, Messiah, the victor over Satan's realm.
We're going to come to a time of prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Rosemary will lead us in further prayer.
We're going to continue now in further prayer. The set prayer for today, let us pray for the gift of God's peace. Father of heaven and earth, hear our prayers and show us the way to peace in the world. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we offer now. We give you thanks for your worldwide church, for the faithfulness of your people in every land and the unity we share through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, war, persecution, and danger. We pray for those who have been sent out as your missionaries to these countries. We pray for them who are working here as well in Australia, as well as overseas. And we especially bring before you the work of those missionaries that we support here. We pray that you will help us to continue our support and prayerful remembrance of them to you. We uphold the work of the Anglican Church of Australia, this diocese, Kanishka, our Archbishop, Michael, our Regional Bishop, this parish of Abbotsford Anglican, and our Minister Trevor. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your Spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, we pray today for peace. Have mercy on our broken and divided world and banish the spirit that makes for war. We ask that leaders of nations and governments will pursue freedom, justice and the welfare of all people. We pray especially for all affected by the turmoil and tragic events in Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Sudan, and Ethiopia. Help the leaders of nations to protect the vulnerable and to establish justice and peace. We also pray for the people of Tonga as they navigate the effects of the tsunami. Preserve their lives and strengthen their resolve as they work together to rebuild their nation. Comfort them, we pray, and may they know the hope and peace that is found in our Lord Jesus. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land, and give to all peoples a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good, and to serve with justice the resources of this earth. Heavenly Father, in an uncertain world, please turn the hearts of all people to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the peace that passes all understanding. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, as the Omicron strain of COVID-19 spreads so quickly, we pray that you will please contain the virus. Please protect our frontline workers, and we pray for those who are fearful, those living with serious financial challenges, those who are lonely, those who are isolated and isolating, the sick, those in pain, and those who are grieving. By your presence, protection, and provision, please bring them your peace. Help us all to go the extra mile and be vigilant in keeping ourselves and each other safe at this time. Heavenly Father, we are mindful of those who we know at this present time who are unwell or who are facing difficulties. And Lord, we spend a few moments in silence as we bring those names before you now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will comfort them, bring them healing, and give wisdom and care to those who are looking after them at this time. As the holidays draw closer to an end, we pray for our children, the families, and those who are away on holidays. May these days allow rest and relaxation, an opportunity to refresh and enable quality family time together. We especially pray for our church families. Please strengthen their faith and trust in you. Help parents to teach their children about you so that they may trust you in all circumstances and know that you are with them always. We pray today for your blessing on those planning and preparing for the return of Kids Church, Playgroup, and SRE in our schools. We commend to your keeping, Father, ourselves and each other, our families, our neighbours, and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you have a plan to this world. Lord, our lives are directed by the same divine power, and we know that every day we have on this earth is directed by you. Help us, we pray, to live according to your plan. You know where each of us are today, and you know how much of the road each of us still has to travel. Lord, we look to you for direction, purpose, and help for the difficult things we are carrying. Lord, as we look to you, we will see all the beauty and good things that you have placed on our paths, and we know that you walk with us. And so we thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, just to share a few things that are going on. I'm going to invite Trevor up to speak to this one. In case you haven't seen it, this is on the back table as you're leaving the church. It's on your right, and he'll just address that.
Thanks, Diane. Yeah, everyone should have one of those in their bulletin today or their news and notes today. The reason for that is that I like for all of us to fill one out. It's not necessarily just an indication for you to say to me, this is what I'd like to be involved in and help out with in the life of the church. But it's a good little way of, at the beginning of the year, to actually take a moment in the week to pray about your involvement here, our involvement here, and then to commit ourselves to the service of sharing in ministry here. And it could be just simply ticking the first little box. Yep, I'm going to come to church at 9:30 on that Sunday, and placing it in the box as you go or bring to church. Others may want to think it's also an opportunity to say, look, yes, I'm going to commit myself to do this under God, with God's help and the church's help, for the set year, for the year. But also to say, look, no, I'd like something to do. I'd like to do something different. I want you to be able to feel free to be able to say, no, no longer want to do that ministry. I'd like to do something else. And so you can just not tick that box anymore and tick something else or leave it blank. And I will follow that up, of course, and say thank you for your ministry in that space. And why? Are you okay? And if there's ministries that you're starting off to want to do and be involved and learn how to do, like leading services, reading the Bible, praying in church, music, all those things, and you're not too sure how to go about doing that, well, I'll certainly be providing you with help and guidance in how to do that. So before you leave today or before next Sunday, I would really appreciate if you take a little moment to fill that in and pray about it, fill it in and bring it in and put it in the little red box that's up the back. Thanks, Diane.
And at the end of this month, next week and weekend after, 2 weeks away, men's breakfast. So for all those men out there who look for a chance to get away and have some blokey time, you're welcome to join in and bring a mate. So it'd be nice to share that together, I'm sure. I know the ladies always enjoy their time together. Yep. Next Sunday is our Lord's Supper. Yes. So next week, if you come prepared for that, we do have the little separate individual serving portions. It has a little cracker type wafer thing and a bit of very sweet juice to share in that. Not necessary, but it's there for you. I'd like to see you join in with that as well. And then if you'd like prayer after service, we have two wonderful people doing the ministry in that place here. Coral and Tony will be just up the front here, and they will share in prayer with you for issues that are of concern to you. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a ministry that really is a godsend. It's lovely to have people who can pray with you about the things that are troubling you at any particular time. So make use of that if you will. Okay, we're going to go to our final hymn, and I noted when I read which one we were doing today, I thought, oh, I love this one. And that was a sentiment that I heard repeated by a few people who heard the practice this morning. So please stand and join us with I Stand Amazed.
Thanks, Diane. Yes, let's stand. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall end. Came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Took my my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face we at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
How marvelous, how wonderful.
Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is our Savior's love for us. Amen.
Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Thanks, folks.